Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show for this Monday, August 17th. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Today on the show, we're going to be answering three real estate related questions. Now, you can ask those questions yourself by leaving us a voicemail. It's very simple. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you can leave a voicemail message. Try to keep it to under 30 seconds. That way, it's succinct and nice and we can get right to the point. So again, morrisinvest.com/Clayton. And by the way, when you're on that website, we have tons of great blog posts and content over there for you. And if you're interested in booking a call with our full service team and you're ready to take the plunge into real estate investing, we are a full service team. We can help you get up and running, set up your self-directed IRA, buy your first rental property, the whole nine yards. Full service. That means top to bottom. So check it out. Okay. Our first question today comes from Tyler.
My name's Tyler. So my question is this. I'm looking at two rental properties, and it's going to be about $160,000 total. The estimated income on them is going to be about $2,400. My question is, though, is this. They have renters in them. Is it a good idea to buy investment properties when there is renters in them, especially when they cash flow profitably? Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Tyler, for the question. I really appreciate it. The question really is about buying property with inherited tenants. Now, what we do at our company at Morris Invest is a lot different than what a tired landlord would do. We would build, for instance, a brand new construction property. And then we, working with our property management teams, will place a great tenant in the property. And then, and only then, once it's cash flowing with a brand new tenant, do we then sell it to one of our clients. So that's what we do. Now, I have over the years, though, experienced a lot of problems with inherited tenants. A tenant that might have been there for a long time, and now you're coming in and you're working with a tired landlord and you're going to buy these two properties. I just want to caution you because I rarely have a good experience with this. I'll give you an example. We bought a number of years ago a package of properties in New Jersey. I would never buy in New Jersey again, but I did as an experiment. And we bought 10 properties there and we renovated them. There were some tenants that were living in the properties and the tired landlord that we bought it from, said, "Oh, these tenants have been here for 5-6 years. They love me." And he was retiring. And so we worked with them. We saw the tenant ledgers. We saw all of that stuff, but it was managed by him. It wasn't managed by a professional property management team. And there were a lot of issues. Let's just say there's a lot of issues. So I guess bottom line, as soon as we ended up closing on the properties within a few weeks, we ended up having to do a couple of evictions. They stopped paying and it was just a nightmare. Turns out he didn't really have a good system for rent collection in place with these tenants. He would just stop by their house and pick up their rent and pick up half the rent, on the beginning of the month, half the rent halfway through the month. So I just want to caution you, please be very, very careful about inherited tenants. Make sure that you've got a full tenant ledger. You can see how much they've paid over the years, what their history is. I want a copy of a full, updated lease. Make sure the lease is current, all of those pieces to make sure that that is part of the process. Sorry if you can hear our new quarantine puppy that we got, Grover, barking in the background. He agrees with me on this inherited tenant issue. Just be very, very careful. Now, if you're working with a property management team and they have all of this information on file, it should be okay. Then it should be a pretty easy turnover to you as the new owner. But I just want to caution you, a lot of times these inherited tenants can be problematic, especially in a lower grade property. Be very careful. They see opportunities oftentimes with new owners to lump a bunch of things onto your lap that you didn't even know about. So, you know, you, new owner, oh, great. We want you to put in all new appliances suddenly. We have been complaining to the old owner for years about this. And oh, really? This is the first time learning about this. So you just need to be careful and aware that there may become additional headaches and fixes that you're going to have to take on with that. So just be very, very careful about the inherited tenant situation. Like I said, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up having to evict that tenant, deal with that tenant in some capacity. It's just always better to be able to place your own fresh, clean tenant in that property. When I say clean, I mean like clean slate, you know, like fresh tenant, new lease, person moves in, it's under your control. It's always better than trying to pick up somebody else's, mess, especially if they haven't kept good records on the whole process. So thank you, Tyler, for that question. Okay, here is our next question.
Hi, this is David from Atlanta. I was wondering if when calculating my freedom number, should I be calculating it with financing on my properties or without, like once everything's been paid off?
Thank you for that freedom number question. By the way, if anyone wants to download our freedom cheat sheet, it's very easy. Just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom and you can figure out your freedom number based on it's a 3-page PDF, very, very simple to download and work through. I think one thing that's important to think about on the Freedom Cheat Sheet is that the most important number is not necessarily the number of houses you're going to get. It's really figuring out your expenses. You know, what is your monthly expense look like? Is it $3,000 a month to live? Is it $4,000 a month? Once you understand that number, David, then it all falls into line. So your question about financing, yes, like, you know, if you're making $900 a month from a tenant in a particular property, but your mortgage on that property is $400, right? Then your profit is $500. You also have to take into account expenses and so forth. So yes, you know, are you getting closer to being able to cover your monthly expenses? Is it $3,000 a month that you're covering, $4,000 a month for you and your family to live and pay gas, groceries, you know, mortgage, rent, whatever it is, right? What are those expenses you're needing to cover? So it's very important to think about that number and then what you have left over to cover. But I also want to remind you of something. Remember that in the 3 stages of real estate investing, you're probably at the beginning stages of real estate investing. And those stages are buy, own, and then cash flow. So buying the properties, you may be using financing, and I hope that you are. For instance, like at our company at Morris Invest, we have like 60 different lenders that we work with for our clients. So we do traditional non-recourse financing, you name it. So you should absolutely be using financing. Use other people's money to build your portfolio, for sure. But at the early stages, you're just buying the properties. Then after a number of years, you own them because you've paid them off. That's the second stage. You own them. And then the third stage is cash flow. So let's not necessarily worry about the cash flow piece just yet. I know it's the most sexy part of the whole process, but let's wait. That's the third step in the process, is the cash flow piece. So the first stage is to buy them. Now, if you have some nice cash flow coming in for, you know, towards your freedom number above your mortgage payments and your financing, that's fine. That's great. After you've taken care of all of your expenses. But yes, you absolutely want to include financing in your freedom number. And again, really the most important part is figuring out what your monthly expenses are. And then let's try to cover that $3,000, $4,000. You know, for me, it was higher. I lived in New Jersey, I had 3 kids. So mine was like $7,000 a month or something ridiculous. So I had to cover that in with rental properties. And that's when I was able to hit my freedom numbers, when I knew that that $7,000 was covered because of rent coming in from my properties. But yes, David, you definitely, definitely, definitely want to include financing as part of your freedom number. Okay, before we get to our third question, I want to tell you about our sponsor today, our friends over at SimpliSafe. You know, here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and a lousy customer support team. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, and that is SimpliSafe. I love SimpliSafe home security. When we got our SimpliSafe system, I had it set up in about 7 minutes. No joke. I was timing it because I wanted to be able to share with you how easy it was. We set up the keypad on the door. We set up the main security hub, plugged it in, connected to our home Wi-Fi, and then I set up a sensor up in the corner to monitor motion. And that's the great thing about SimpliSafe. You can do as much as you want. You can get window sensors, you can get motion sensors, cameras. You can just pick whatever you want, but for the size of your house. You have a small apartment? Great. You probably don't need 30 sensors, right? You can mix and match, and it's so easy to set up. No wires, no long-term contracts. They've got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional security. They have an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room in your home, window, door, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring. They keep watch day and night, and they're ready to send the police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself in under an hour. Like I said, it took me 7 minutes. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. You don't even have to drill into your walls. No technician required, no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. And all of it starts at $15 a month. U.S. News & World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. So try it today. Try SimpliSafe today by going to simplisafe.com/investing. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/investing. Thanks, SimpliSafe. Okay, our next question today is from Dewan.
Okay, my question is, how do you feel about Burr Investing, the buy, renovate, refinance, and repeat? How do you feel about that?
Okay, thanks, Dewan, for that question on the Burr method, the BRRRR method. We have a full video on our YouTube channel if you're interested in learning more about this process. I love the Burr method. But remember, I think the Burr method is for the person who, the go-getter, who's going to, you know, wants to be in the trenches, get their hands dirty, wants to find an off-market property, something that you can add value to. Remember, it all comes down to the numbers. You've got to find a property that, you know, you're getting maybe 50, 60% below market value, which is very difficult to find right now. It's one of the reasons, like at my company, we've really shifted towards more of a new construction model, building from the ground up. That's where we can get the highest return on investment. But, you know, if you're able to find off-market properties that are just sitting there that need work, the best thing to do really is going to be in your neck of the woods, in your backyard, because you're going to want to identify a property, whether through a direct mail campaign or you work with a realtor to find an ugly duckling property that needs work. You're going to want to fix it up. You're going to need to hire contractors. And then after the work is done, you know, all again, it comes down to the numbers. So if you find it for 60 cents on the dollar, you know, how much are you going to put in? Are you going to put in 10 cents? So now you're at like 70 or maybe 20 cents. Now you're at 80% below market value. Okay. Now you get it rented with a property management company, right? You get a tenant in that property and then you refinance it and you pull out the equity from that property. You know, that's great. It's a great way to break into real estate investing. I know a lot of successful investors that have done it. You know, I started that way. I didn't do refinances at first on those properties, but I found off-market properties that I renovated and placed tenants in. And when I bought those properties for 40, I think it was all in about 50,000. Now they're worth 90,000, my first few properties that I bought in Michigan. So it's a great strategy, but you just have to remember that, you know, this is not necessarily for the busy person. If you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer and you work long hours, this is going to take attention and time and effort to locate these properties, put the renovation into it, refinance it with a bank, and pull that equity out and then rinse and repeat and do it all over again. It's not easy and it's a bit of a job if you want to know the truth of it. But yes, I love the Burr method, and it's a fantastic way of using other people's money to build wealth, you know, buy, own, and cash flow. That's the key here. So I love the Burr method. Thank you for your question, Dewan. I really appreciate it. Now go ahead and ask me a question. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you can leave us a question via voicemail. Try to keep them to 30 seconds or less, and we will try to answer your questions right here on every Monday's episode. Thank you so much, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Thanks, everyone.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.